Lord Lieutenant, members of the Armed Forces, veterans, associations, members of Dorset Council, members of Dorchester Council. Welcome to our commemoration this morning for Armed Forces Day. If I may start by inviting the Lord Lieutenant to meet all of those gathered today and to welcome them to this morning's commemoration. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now raise the Armed Forces Day flag of remembrance and respect. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I invite our speakers for today to come forward to the microphone. Our first speaker is the Chair of Dorset Council, Councillor Stella Jones, MBE.
Distinguished guests, members of the Armed Forces, veterans and associations, welcome to this year's Armed Forces Day ceremony. Today, we gather to honour and celebrate the remarkable men and women who serve in the Armed Forces. The ceremony marks the beginning of Armed Forces Week, a time declared to recognise the dedication, bravery and sacrifices made by our military personnel. Our Armed Forces are the backbone of our nation's security, defending our way of life and protecting British citizens around the world. Whether it's responding to crises, providing humanitarian or safeguarding our borders, their unwavering commitment ensures our safety and freedom. We are privileged to have representatives from the Royal Navy, Royal Marines, British Army, Royal Air Force and Reserves with us today. Your presence is a testament to the strength and unity of our military community. As we raise the flag today, let us remember the countless individuals who have served and continue to serve with distinction. Their courage and resilience inspire us all, and their contributions to our nation are immeasurable. Let us also take a moment to acknowledge the families of our service members. Their support and sacrifices are integral to the success of our armed forces. We owe them a debt of gratitude for their unwavering dedication. In the past, all previous local authorities in Dorset signed the Armed Forces Community Covenant, which is a statement of mutual support between the civilian and armed forces communities. We at Dorset are very pleased to honour the covenant, which encourages integration between service life and civilian life. Many towns and villages in Dorset depend upon the servicemen and women, both economically and socially, whilst they are in the forces and when they retire into our community. The communities are inextricably linked, and we provide services to all residents, whether civilian or military. Together, let us show our support and gratitude to the brave men and women of our armed forces. Thank you for joining in our celebration.
Thank you, Chair. Our next speaker is Majesty's Lord Lieutenant, Mr. Michael Dooley, LVO.
Chair, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. As His Majesty's Lord Lieutenant of Dorset, it is my honour and privilege to welcome you here today as we raise the flag to mark Armed Forces Day, a moment of national gratitude and a deeply personal act of respect. Today we pay tribute to the men and women in our armed forces, the Royal Navy, the British Army, and the Royal Air Force, whose steadfast service, both at home and overseas, safeguards the freedoms we too often take for granted. They serve in silence, in hardship, and in danger, but always with dignity. We give thanks not only to the regular forces, but the reserves, who serve with quiet dedication while living and working amongst us in our communities. And we also remember the enduring sacrifice of veterans and the families who shoulder the long absences, the uncertainty, and the burden of duty with strength and grace. Let us also reflect on those who gave their lives in service to this country. Their legacy is woven into the fabric of our freedom, and it is our solemn duty to ensure that their stories and their values live on. Here in Dorchester and across Dorset, we are proud of our deep military heritage, from the historic services of the Dorset Regiment to today's strong presence of the active service, reservists, cadets, and veterans organisations. The support shown across our county, from civic leaders to local charities and schools, is a reminder that appreciation for the armed forces is not confined to one day a year. It is part of who we are. And I also wish to acknowledge the role of our cadets, who represent the values of service, discipline, and citizenship that lie in the heart of the armed forces. They're not only the future of military service, but also of civic leadership. In them, we see dedication, potential, and the enduring spirit of public service. The flag we raise today is more than a banner. It is a symbol of honour, remembrance, and unity. And may it fly as a visible sign of our lasting respect and gratitude to all who serve, past, present, regular, reserve, young and old. May it remind us daily of the courage that underpins our freedom.
Thank you, Lord Lieutenant. Our speaker today for the Royal Navy, Commander Anna Misaik.
Sirs, ma'ams, ladies and gentlemen, honoured guests, colleagues and friends. I have to apologise that I'm going to read my speech today, but I was recently deployed in operations and only came back a few days ago, so haven't had much time to practice. But it is a great privilege to be here today to represent both the Royal Navy and the Fleet Air Arm from RAS Ableton as we raise the Armed Forces Day flag. This year is the 85th anniversary since RNAS Yeovilton was commissioned to provide close geographical links to the military and key local aircraft manufacturer Westland Aircraft, which continues today with now Leonardo helicopters. As one of the busiest military airfields in the UK, RNAS Yeovilton, in collaboration with our local industry partners, continues to provide highly trained engineers, pilots and aircrew, ensuring both our Merlin and Wildcat helicopters and those of the 1 Regiment Royal Army Air Corps are ready to respond to any demands within the UK and abroad. The men and women of the Fleet Air Arm are an integral part of the Royal Navy, providing the aviation support required to maintain the UK's influence over the sea, air and land. Unlike other forces, the Royal Navy has the unique advantage of floating platforms that bring helicopters and jets to waters around the world, thus extending the UK's reach and giving the freedom and agility to operate wherever needed. From combat missions to humanitarian aid, the Royal Navy is equipped and ready to strike and support the nation's global operations at a moment's notice. Over the past 12 months, helicopters and crews from RNAS Yeovilton have been engaged in military exercises with allied nations around Europe and the Pacific. Of particular note have been the international operation of security of the commercial shipping lanes through the Red Sea, the escorting and monitoring of Russian vessels through the English Channel, and the assisting of international law enforcement and the boarding of seaborne vessels, resulting in the seizure of drugs with UK street value of millions and millions of pounds. The Royal Navy's most significant commitment this year is the deployment of the Carrier Strike Group, led by the UK's flagship HMS Prince of Wales, with over 2,500 sailors, Royal Marines and Royal Air Force colleagues collaborating with a dozen nations on its 8 months mission. The aim is to reaffirm the UK's commitment to the security of the Mediterranean Indo-Pacific region, demonstrate collective resolve with our allies and showcase British trade and industry globally. This flotilla of military might is supported by Merlin helicopters of 845 Squadron and the Maritime Wildcats of 815 Naval Air Squadron and their respective engineers and crew, all from RNAS Yeovilton. As well as working with industry and commercial partners to support the economy of the local area, with 4,000 plus military and civilian personnel who work at Yeovilton are committed to being significant contributors to life in Somerset and Dorset. We are committed to providing support to local schools, youth groups and our cadet forces and continue to strengthen these relationships. This year sees public events commemorating the 80th anniversary of victory in Europe and victory in Japan. These events not only acknowledge those involved in the military operations of the Second World War, but highlights the significant contribution of the communities of the UK and our allied nations. The Royal Navy, along with our colleagues from the British Army and the Royal Air Force, always appreciates the support of our communities. We thank you for celebrating Armed Forces Day, past and present, through events such as this. Thank you.
And representing the Royal Marines, Captain Jamie Slater.
Sirs, ma'ams, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for inviting me to represent the Royal Marines as we raise the flag in honour of Armed Forces Day. It is a privilege to serve here in Dorset, a county with a proud and enduring connection to the Royal Marines. Dorset's links with the Royal Marines stretch back through history. During the Napoleonic Wars, Dorset's harbours and shores were vital to the defence of our nation, and Royal Marines stood ready to protect them. During the Second World War, this county played a pivotal role in the birth of two Royal Marine Commando units and their preparations for D-Day. 4-6 Commando were formed in August 1943 in Camp D6 in Piddle Hilton, which today is the Enterprise Industrial Estate, before moving to Camp D7, which is today's Poundbury Estate. They landed on D+1 and made it as far as Lübeck in Germany when the war ended. 4-7 Commando were formed in August 1943 in Depot Barracks, Dorchester, today known as The Keep. On D-Day, they landed at Gold Beach before a day later marching 9 miles west to seize the small harbour of Port en Bessin, which they did on the 8th of June after a short but stiff fight. 4-7 Commando still exists to this day as 4-7 Commando Raiding Group, and they only relocated to their base in Plymouth from Poole in 2013. From their designation as Commandos in 1943 until the amphibious landings of D-Day that would change the course of history a year later, many Royal Marines trained along the beaches of Studland Bay. and their courage and determination honed here in Dorset helped secure the freedoms that we cherish today. But Dorset's connection to the Royal Marines is not just a story of the past, it is a living, breathing partnership that continues to this day. Just a short distance from here lies Hanworthy Barracks, home to the elite Special Boat Service, which is made up of lots of Royal Marines. Even shorter distance away, Bovington Garrison is home to the Armoured Support Group Royal Marines, which I'm a part of. From these bases, I can assure you that Royal Marines regularly deploy on missions across the globe, protecting our nation's interests. I speak from often painful experience when I say that Dorset's rugged coastline and challenging terrain remain a vital training ground, shaping the next generation of Royal Marines to meet the demands of an unstable world. Beyond their operational role, the Royal Marines are an integral part of your community. We and our families are your neighbours and friends. After being drafted in 2014, my own daughter was born in Poole Hospital, and I believe that the Royal Marines' presence in Dorset enriches the county. Today, as we raise this flag, let us remember the sacrifices of those who have served in the Royal Marines, celebrate the dedication of those who serve today, and reaffirm our gratitude to the Royal Marines and all of our armed forces. Thank you.
Representing the Army, Lieutenant Colonel William Minards.
Sirs, Marms, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Thank you very much for having us here. It's a really great opportunity to attend today for the Armed Forces Day flag raising ceremony. And from the Army's perspective, it's very important, especially as we do so in Dorchester and Dorset as a county. Dorset continues to provide the home for many vital components of the Army. That includes, amongst others, the home of the Royal Signals, training in Blandford, and the home of the Army's armoured training capability in Bovington. Many of you will know that that training estate has been running since the First World War and is now as active as ever. The Army is now transitioning to new armoured vehicles, including the Challenger 3 main battle tank and the Ajax reconnaissance vehicle. And these vehicles, while sometimes may have had a slightly bad press in the past, I can assure you are absolutely excellent platforms. And importantly, we now put hundreds of soldiers through Bovington Garrison to train them on a yearly basis on these exciting new capabilities. Both Blandford and Bovington and other aspects of Dorset County, where the Army still operates, remain very busy and thriving garrisons, providing trained soldiers to the field army on a monthly basis. As important as the wider footprint of support to the army that Dorset provides, that it also includes its reservists, cadets and veterans. This continuum of service, as embodied here from those that may have been from a slightly younger age to those now retired from the military, continues to provide that vital bedrock on which the current serving army relies upon. So does the unceasing support of local civilian communities who are so important and welcoming to the army families and soldiers who make Dorset their home, often for just 2 years at a time. We're all made to feel really, really welcome and it is very much appreciated. Finally, we're all aware of the example that we must follow from our veteran community and especially those of the wartime generation. Their presence here and support overall is most welcome. So thank you for being here today, and I trust you all will have a good Armed Forces week and day, and thank you very much to Dorset Council for their continued support.
The Royal Air Force, Wing Commander Pez Coles.
Chair, Lord Lieutenant, ladies and gentlemen, and all of Dorset, thank you. It's not been a great week for the Royal Air Force, and I won't lie, but I'd like to say thank you on behalf of all of the Royal Air Force, reserves and our cadets who are represented here. I know I'm going to get a warmer welcome than my colleague who's currently talking in Newbury, where a recent incident with a Peruvian bear has put the Royal Air Force into a slightly less than good light. So I note there are no marmalade sandwiches. I put the refreshments, which is reassuring. But as I said last year, being the junior service, we are a little bit wayward at times, and we're also a little bit absent and I know it's very conscious that there are no Royal Air Force units in Dorset. We do fly over your lovely grounds and beaches, and I don't know what Jamie's talking about. I've flown many a times into Lulworth, and it took mere seconds. And I can almost certainly vouch for the quality of the hotels in Dorset as well, which is another great Royal Air Force tradition. We prefer to check in than dig in. But that's the inspiration that we're trying to pay. Armed Forces Day, patently, is a little bit of reflection. You know, we're very much what we do. We get to go and do the things you've heard talked about this morning. But it's the people we leave behind, our families, our friends, that probably bear the greater brunt. And over the weekend, we deployed a number of additional aircraft out to the Middle East. Obviously, lots of things going on out there at the moment, lots of tensions. And those families left at very short notice. Their partners, spouses, husbands, wives left, flew all the way out to the Middle East, and will be there for an indeterminate amount of time. And I think that's where Dorset plays its own. I meet so many people, whilst we're not based here permanently, that live here or retire here. And that's very much why we very much appreciate your warm welcome this week, raising the flag and celebrating. Because I think this week is more about inspiring the younger generation. And looking at the audience, it's obvious we've nailed that this week. But hopefully all of our cadets and children who are in school at the moment are still looking at the military as a rewarding career. You can question it. But it still gives great value for all of us that serve. And things like this just remind us that whilst we go away and do things that you may not hear about, sometimes like our Royal Navy brethren, we can't talk about. But when we come home, it's very nice to come amongst friends who genuinely appreciate what we do. So on behalf of the Royal Air Force, the reservists and the cadets, thank you.
I ask the chair of Dorset Council to give the call for the traditional three cheers for the armed forces.
Three cheers for the armed forces and veterans. Hip hip.
Hooray!
Hip hip.
Hooray!
Hip hip.
Hooray!
Break! Break! Chant!
Ladies and gentlemen, the national anthem. And now for the closing words this morning, I ask again if the chair of Dorset Council would come forward, and our thanks to everyone attending today. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming to this ceremony. I think it's been very moving. Now can I invite you all to join us for refreshments at the front of the County Hall. Thank you very much.